Maker Radio Daily for halfway day. Yeah, you know, there's nothing I can say about this day that I probably haven't said 27 or 40 times before. Just keep in mind that this day is the 5th of February, which means house payments, whether that's rent, whether that's mortgages, those are all due, and check some of your bills because they're due as well. There you go. That's just a helpful, friendly reminder from the fine folks at GeekRadioDaily.com. Though I do say that, and we've had a switch, a mix-up, a little twist on a doctor's appointment, and because of that, podcasting's Rich Siegfried cannot be here, and it's just going to be you and I, the wonderful Billy Flynn. So let's get to it. On this date in 1850, the first U.S. patent for a push-key-operated adding machine is issued to Dubois de Parmalee of New Paltz, New York. 1861, a patent is issued to Coleman Sellers of Philadelphia for the kinetoscope. 1870, in Philadelphia, the first motion picture is presented to a theater audience by Henry J. Heil using a phasmotrope, which is a converted projecting lamp with a rotating disc mounted to its front and 16 openings near the edge, each which carries a photographic plate, and if you hold them, it sort of looks like, you know, people dancing and spinning around. 1879, Joseph Swan demonstrates a light bulb using carbon glow for the first time, and everybody was like, wow, man. 1897, the Indiana State House Legislature passes Bill Number 246, which in effect assigns pi the value of exactly 3.2. We'll change science! 1899, Thomas Edison is issued a patent for a phonograph recorder and reproducer. 1932, CBS affiliate W2XAB becomes the first educational television programming in the U.S. On that channel, pi was still 3.14. 1936, Charlie Chaplin releases the last movie of the silent era, Modern Times. 1958, Jack Kilby of Texas Instruments files a patent application for miniaturized electronic circuits. Kilby's device connects several transistors by flying wires. Coming to get you! Wah! Same day, same year, a hydrogen bomb known as the Tybee bomb is lost by the U.S. Air Force off the coast of Savannah, Georgia, never to be recovered. So, Bond villains, somewhere near Savannah, Georgia, is where you get your weapon. 1961, the Soviet Union launched Sputnik 5, the heaviest satellite yet put into space at 7.1 tons. 1967, the NASA Luna Orbiter 3 is launched. It will orbit the moon in order to photograph its far side for potential Apollo 12 landing sites before impacting the lunar surface on command, which is not the site you want to go to. 1971, the NASA manned lunar lander Antares of Apollo 14 lands near the Framwaro region of the moon. 1974, the NASA space probe Mariner 10 returns the first close-up photos of the cloud structures and circulation of Venus. 1988, Andre the Giant defeats Hulk Hogan in the first primetime wrestling match in over 30 years, leading to pro wrestling being one of the most dominant forces in ratings on cable television. Still could be if they had the Rock and Roll Express. 1997, the online Victoria's Secret fashion show attracts over 1.5 million visitors, becoming the first major webcast in history. And then many sites went, wait, I've got an idea. 2003, electronics retailer Circuit City announced it's laying off approximately 3,900 members of its highly paid commission sales force and converting to an hourly pay structure in a move intended to reduce company expenses, because let's get rid of our best salespeople and then still make money. Yeah. 2007, NASA astronaut Lisa Nowak is arrested in Orlando, Florida on charges of allegedly trying to kidnap U.S. Air Force Captain Colleen Shipman, a rival for the romantic affections of a space shuttle pilot, from the Orlando International Airport. Now, we all know the reason we know this story. She drove from Houston, Texas to Orlando wearing diapers so she would not have to stop. As a result, she became the butt of media mockery in the course of a protracted coverage that dealt NASA's credibility a serious blow. 2008, 87 different tornadoes rip apart the southern United States in a 15-hour span, killing 57 and injuring many more. Same day, same year, British scientists announced they successfully created human embryos containing DNA from two women and a man in the procedure that they hope may one day be used to produce embryos free of inherited diseases. They didn't want to call it eugenics because some people don't like that. Birthdays, Darren Criss is 33. He was Blaine in Glee, American Horror Story Hotel, The Murder of Giovanni Versace. Chris Parnell is 53 from Saturday Night Live, Hot Rod, 30 Rock, Cyril on Archer. Laura Linney is 57 from The Truman Show, Mystic River. Jennifer Jason Leigh is 58, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Single White Female, Hateful Eight. Tim Meadows, 59, Saturday Night Live, Ladies Man, Son of Zorn. Jonathan Freeman is 70. He's on quite a bit of voices, but you know him best as the voice of Jafar. Tom Wilkinson is 72 from The Full Monty, Rush Hour, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Batman Begins, he was Carmine Falcone, and of course The Lone Ranger. Barbara Hershey is 72 from The Right Stuff and Insidious 2. Christopher Guest is 72 from Spinal Tap, Mighty Wind, Mrs. Doubtfire, and of course Count Rugen in Princess Bride. David Selby is 79 from Dark Shadows and Raise the Titanic. Dick Warlock is 80, a stuntman and actor. We best know as Mike Myers in Halloween 2. Not in Wayne's World 2, that's a different guy. No longer with us, born this date in 1906, John Carradine, American actor and singer, stagecoach, Grapes of Wrath, House of Frankenstein. 1914, William S. Burroughs, American author and painter, gave us the incredible Naked Lunch. 1919, Red Buttons, American actor and singer. 1919, Tim Holt, Treasure of Sierra Madre, stagecoach. 1940, H.R. Giger, a Swiss painter, sculptor, and set designer, also created The Alien and The Creatures from Species, but I'm sure you knew that. 1951, Robert David Sachs, best known for being Ethan in Buffy. Tonight on television, CBS has Survivor at 40, the greatest moments in Players. No, not 40 years, 40 seasons, but 20 years, still too long, and two new Criminal Minds. ABC's got a new The Bachelor, then Dex sets out to go undercover as a potential buyer to help Hoffman and Gray with their drug case on a new Stumptown. NBC has The Shy Try, it's your meds, your fires, your pids. Fox, it's a new The Masked Singer. And look, the premiere of Lego Masters. Can't believe he's going to destroy those things with a baseball bat. CW's got a new Riverdale. And then the Drew crew frantically seeks a way to bring Nancy back after she finds herself stuck in an alternate reality on Nancy Drew, which has really stepped up its game. Freeform, Val enrolls in a dance class and takes on a new persona in Party of Five, Black Swan 2, and Good Trouble. AMC's got Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen. FX has Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle! We'll still do it. FXX, American Made, they're showing that a lot lately. It must be contractually obligated to or something. FXM's got The Heat. National Geographic Channel, Smuggler Moms, on a new Locked Up Abroad. One over in. IFC has got Home Alone. BBC America showing The Purge. Paramount Roback attempts to keep a promise. Sasquatch reminds the guys they got business that needs attending on a new 68 whiskey. On Siffy, Magicians Anonymous on a new episode of The Magicians, but shh, it's anonymous. TBS has a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. TNT's got all extra wrestling dynamite something things, I don't know, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman's life is turned upside down when she wakes up in the hospital with memory fragmentation following a vehicle crash and is unsure if she can trust those closest to her, which leads her to seek answers before she faces danger again. Helena Madison, Corey Sevier star in Her Deadly Reflections.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad schedules a trip to the state capitol to deliver a Senate campaign speech. Annoyed by Gabby's spoiled behavior, Chad deceives her and invites Abby to travel with him for the weekend. A suspicious Devon tracks them down and, hoping to break up that romance, reveals Chad's whereabouts to a jealous cabbie. Come on, Stefan, is this the police story you want to be known for? Your attempt to meddle and break them up is not landing. Maybe you should go sit down, because you done got too much sun. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted letters today!
Well, indeed, there is not. Not like a specific letter, but a couple of folks did throw in some guesses. A few right, a few incorrect, and that's all right. You can keep plugging away at it as long as you need. Well, or until the end of the week. It's just that simple. Tell us where you think Chad and Abby are or anything else going on in your world. Drop that note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com or, of course, send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
There was an amazing clue on Monday that most of us didn't even notice.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist.
Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be a rough
movie. How did you watch this shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
This is Aaron Sheikh. You listen to the Dick Radio Daily.
Please. You know, it makes things work better for the entire universe. Prove me wrong. That's all I'm saying. Welcome back to it.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed. All kinds of stuff available at your friendly local neighborhood comic shop today, including from DC, Daphne Byrne, number 2 of 6. Joker Harley, Criminal Sanity, number 3 of 9. Martian Manhunter wraps up his 12. But then passion, betrayal, murder. When you're a private investigator, these are things you experience daily. But when you add capes to the mix like Batman, Catwoman, and Harley Quinn, things get even messier. The name's Slam Bradley, and I'm telling you that this year's Valentine's Day special has more intrigue than you can shake a stick at. 10 Tales of Love, the kind of love that can push people over the edge. Don't miss it, or I'll make you pay. It's DC Crimes of Passion. Number 1, didn't know Slam Bradley did the chabby updates. Marvel, Captain America, The End. Conan, Battle for the Serpent Crown kicks off 5. X-Men, Fantastic Four kicking off 4, appropriately enough. But then Scott Lang is back doing what he does better than ever, at least according to him. But his daughter, Stinger, and the anthill he's living in say otherwise. Desperate to raise his daughter's opinion of him, Scott takes a job from local beekeepers only to discover a global conspiracy that could topple the world order. No time to call the Avengers. This sounds like a job for Ant-Man? Number 1 of 5. From Boom Studios, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 12, Magicians, 4 of 5. Over at Dynamite Entertainment, Red Sony is at 13, Vengeance of Vampirella at 5. Aftershock Comics, Sean Bennett is just your everyday, ordinary lab worker in a high-tech lab with a prototype time machine. And yeah, he's got some temptations, any of us would, about going back in time, just a bit, to correct some mistakes of the past, right some old wrongs. So when he meets a version of himself from the future who encourages him to do just that, Sean takes the temporal plunge. Can you guess what happens next? Spoiler! It's the man who effed up time, number 1. From IDW Publishing, G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, 270. Glow versus the Babyface wraps up its 4. Napoleon Dynamite wraps up its 4, so Pedro wins again. Titan Publishing Group, Rivers of London, The Fae and the Furious is at 4. Shades of Magic, The Steel Prince and the Rebel Armies at 3. Sherlock, A Scandal in Belgravia, number 3. But you know, for Sherlock, there was only ever one woman, and now Irene Adler is on a mission to take down Moriarty. It's the League of Extraordinary Gentlewomen, as Adler teams up with a host of famous female faces from science, history, and literature to defeat the greatest criminal mastermind of all time in Adler, number 1. Archie Comics, Archie and Friends Winter Wonderland, number 1. Archie, The Married Life 10 Years Later, number 6. Which I know they won't make a comic of what I really want to see there. Dark Horse, Butcher of Paris, 3 of 5. Disney Pixar, The Incredibles 2, Slow Burn, number 1 of 3. Kill Whitney Donovan's at 3 of its 5. But Rafael Herrera was a drug runner until the fateful night when his men were wiped out by an unearthly monster. Now as part of the Predator Hunters team, Herrera's worst memory is reborn. Cartel soldiers are being wiped out in the jungles of Central America, and that means the Predators have returned! And this story ties directly into the first Predator series from 1987. That's Predator Hunters 3, number 1. At Zenoscope Entertainment, Red Agent Island of Dr. Moreau's 2 of 5, Unbound's 4 of 5, over at Image... Birthright, number 41, Marked, number 4, Gnomon Omen, number 5 of 15, and you know, in the aftermath of Ragnarok, Una, an elven ranger, sets out into the post-apocalyptic chaos to discover the fate of the old gods, but first, she must fulfill an oath to a lost friend that could doom what's left of the Nine Realms, an after-realm quarterly, number 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, Lucasfilm chief Kathleen Kennedy, who received the BAFTA Fellowship Award on Sunday, spoke with the BBC on the red carpet and gave an update on the status of the 5th Indiana Jones film. And as long as it's got Shia LaBeouf being tortured hostile style, I'm gonna be in. Kennedy, who co-founded Amblin Entertainment with Steven Spielberg, Frank Marshall, confirmed the next film would be a continuation of the Harrison Ford-led films and not the reboot, which is eventually expected of the franchise. So, yeah, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Diabetes. Kennedy says, while working away, getting the script where we want it to be, where we'll be able to go. Harrison Ford will be involved. It's not a reboot. It's a continuation. She added that Ford can't wait to get started on the movie. Fortune and glory, kid. Fortune and glory. The four films of the series so far brought in nearly $2 billion at the global box office. Fans are torn on this news, though. Many are looking forward to another adventure with Indy, but some fans hearing Ford was coming back started trending hashtag he chose poorly. In an update to a story that we were never sure was real in the first place, Netflix's adaptation of Capcom's Resident Evil franchise, which has been silent for a long time, it's a Constantine film developed series, is allegedly going into production this summer. After they survive a summer camp and sing Kumbaya together at a Boy Scout bonfire. According to a production entry for the Resident Evil series, aside from production beginning in June, the show is set to be 8 episodes, each being 60 minutes in length. Prior to the June start date, the series on location prep work will begin in April, with the main hub of production being based in South Africa. Don't be a hard dog to keep under the porch, Resident Evil. The news hasn't been confirmed by either Netflix or Constantine Film. However, with the remake of Resident Evil 3 Nemesis right around the corner, with the success of The Witcher's transition from game to Netflix, it wouldn't be that big of a stretch if someone finally said something about the production in an official capacity. Also unconfirmed is that to truly immerse viewers in the Resident Evil world, you'll be required to find a key card by turning a crank to move a piece of art on the wall, but to use the crank you need an oil additive, a battery to power the movement, and then play chess for some reason to be able to watch the coming attractions. So here's a question for you. What happens when the Expendables die and get sent straight to hell? You might think they take on the devastating team of Charles Barkley and Godzilla. Well, comic books generally allow movie franchises to get bigger and crazier than they could ever actually be on the screen itself. And the Expendables franchise is the latest to take the plunge, now funding on Indiegogo, where a $10,000 goal has already been far surpassed. The Expendables go to hell, sends the team from the movies down to hell to fight monsters.
We are the shadow, the smoke in your eyes, the ghosts that hide in the night.
Which tells you the story comes directly from Sylvester Stallone himself, who has teamed with Chuck Dixon and artist Graham Nolan, among others, to bring the hellish and insane vision to life.
I got a feeling that everyone else passed on this job.
The Expendables are the international team of mercenaries led by Barney Ross, Stallone, and the storyline sees the team killed in combat shortly after they awaken in hell.
You mean where they put you in a boat and set you on fire?
The 50-page main story will be accompanied by 3 side quests, though no microtransactions, right? Right? The bridge, Barney Ross is stunned to find the soul of his still-living friend Tool trapped in hell. Christmas in hell. Lee Christmas is lured away from the team just when they need him most. Barbarian's holiday. Gunnar Jensen makes the most of a bad situation. Wait, no Cenobites? The graphic novel, which is currently more than 500% funded with over 50,000, getting close to 60,000, is expected to begin shipping out in May. Unless, of course, it gets abandoned for being considered superfluous and unimportant. Indiana State Insect is known for giving off bright flashes of light and creating some dazzling displays at night, but the light of the fireflies could soon be going out as the insect faces extinction. Damn it, Fox! Leave Firefly alone! Scientists say the loss of natural habitat, pesticides, and artificial lighting are all playing a role in the insect's fate. And I'd like to make myself believe that planet Earth turns slowly. Many fireflies rely on chemical reactions in their bodies to draw them to light and allow them to find mates, but light pollution messes with the chemical cycle. Artificial light, including both direct lighting, such as streetlights, commercial signs, the sky glow, a more diffuse illumination spreads beyond urban centers and can be brighter than the full moon, which means fireflies start trying to mate with streetlights, and that really isn't pretty. Scientists say their goal is to make land managers and policymakers aware of the threat to keep fireflies around longer. We have to do something here, folks. I owe a ton to fireflies. They tried to teach me how to dance. Right now, this whole thing is just a disco ball hanging by a thread. You know, as they go, they leave teardrops everywhere. Maybe I'll just go to that city with all the owls. A GoFundMe campaign has been launched to help famed Civil War, Power Girl, Superman, Batman, JLA, Classified, and Wolverine comic inker Dexter Vines fight his blood cancer. F cancer! Why do we not have Steve's working on this? Vines was diagnosed on January 27th and going to the doctor for chronic back pain. While there, he discovered he had multiple myeloma, a cancer that attacks the plasma of the blood, because cancer is effing relentless. Now, the Mayo Clinic says multiple myeloma is a cancer that forms in a type of white blood cell called a plasma cell, which help you fight infections by making antibodies that recognize and attack germs. Multiple myeloma causes cancer cells to accumulate in the bone marrow where they crowd out healthy blood cells. Rather than produce helpful antibodies, the cancer cells produce abnormal proteins that can cause complications. and I really wish I could kick cancer straight in the jimmy. While Vines caught the disease in its early stages with a hopeful prognosis, the treatment is still very expensive. The GoFundMe is dedicated to paying for his medical bills over the next 9 to 12 months, with 100% of the proceeds going to Vines' treatment. The campaign began a few days ago and has already raised over $30,000, surpassing its $25,000 goal. You can still help out, though. Throw some bucks. Just follow the link in the show notes over at geekradiodaily.com. Keep funding research into fighting this blight on humanity, because we would love to be able to stop doing damn stories like that. F. Cancer. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And drop us a note, please. Tell us what's going on in your world, what's happening, what's on the horizon, where you think Chad and Abby are. Drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, just send a voicemail to
510-GRD.
And we'll see who has to go to the doctor tomorrow. Hopefully not me. Hopefully not anybody. You know, F cancer.
Funny, I detect no source of amusement.
It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad?
God, these guys are such geek dumbasses. I know.
This is developing into a very bad habit.
I think we need better packaging. We need a better way to show off our product.
You're taller than you look in the tabloids, Mr. Wayne. No gun. I'm insulted. You could have just sent a thank you note.
I didn't come here to thank you. I came here to show you that not everyone in Gotham's afraid of you.
Only those who know me, kid. Look around you. You'll see two councilmen, a union official, a couple off-duty cops, and a judge. Now, I wouldn't have a second's hesitation in blowing your head off right here and right now in front of them. Now, that's power you can't buy. That's the power of fear.
I'm not afraid of you.
Because you think you got nothing to lose. But you haven't thought it through. You haven't thought about your lady friend down in the DA's office. You haven't thought about your old butler. Bang! People from your world have so much to lose. Now you think, because your mommy and your daddy got shot, you know about the ugly side of life, but you don't. You've never tasted desperate. You're Bruce Wayne, the Prince of Gotham. You'd have to go 1,000 miles to meet someone who didn't know your name. So don't come down here with your anger, trying to prove something to yourself. This is a world you never understand, and you always fear. What you don't understand